Now, for those of you that are wondering, this is actually the lectionary for the day. It was not chosen just because the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. Although some might say it's speaking to something that might happen. So I have no idea. Last week, we experienced and remembered our baptisms. Through word and through water, we committed to live as followers of Jesus Christ, but professing something and living are two very different things. Accepting Christ's grace and living out God's grace are two very different things. So how do we move forward? There is an amazing power that we experience when we rise up from the waters of baptism. But how do we keep that excitement and that promise as we move out into the world? It's easy to get distracted by the world, just like Reverend Haley talked about. When we close our eyes, we can focus inward. When we're in this space, we can remember what we're called to. But as soon as we go out into the world, we get distracted by our struggles and by our brokenness and by our past that just keeps resurfacing. How do we stay connected to the waters of life without drowning in the storms of our daily lives? Our passage this morning comes from Mark's gospel, and it comes from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Mark likes to keep his narrative short and sweet, so there is not a long... If you're reading the gospels, Mark is always the most succinct of all the gospels. And so with Mark, you get Jesus was baptized, he was tempted, he called his disciples, and boom, he's immediately into ministry. And this is where we find him today, in the region of the Sea of Galilee. He's already connected with Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John, and Jesus is already living out his ministry and sharing his message. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Verses 29 through 39, and since it is the gospel of our Lord, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for its reading. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And he came and he took her by the hand and he lifted her up. And then the fever left her and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases. And he cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and he went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. Everyone is searching for you. And he answered, "Let's go on to the neighboring towns so that I might proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went through Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I need to be honest with you. I know very little about football. Truth be told, I only watch one game a year, and that's the Super Bowl. And truth be told, I really don't watch the game. I love the food. I love the commercials. Sorry, Eagles fans. I apologize. Last year, there was a particularly uplifting Duracell commercial featuring Derek Coleman of the Seattle Seahawks. Do you remember this commercial? At a young age, Derek had lost his hearing, and the commercial told in just over a minute the story of Derek being bullied, being picked last for teams, being harassed by coaches, even missing and not being drafted by the NFL at one point. And then comes the signature line where Coleman says, "Everybody told me to quit. They told me it was over. But I'd been deaf since I was 3, so I didn't listen." And in the last scene, Coleman is entering the Super Bowl arena, and he's saying, "And now I'm here with the lots of fans cheering me on, and I can hear them all." Followed by the tagline across the screen, "Duracell, trust your power." Trust your power. In our passage this morning from Mark, we see Jesus trusting not in his own power, but in the power that was given to him from God. We see him living out his purpose, which was to proclaim the message of God's kingdom in both word and deed. We see the people he is healing, moving from sickness to health, from possession to freedom. While we're not exactly sure what happens after each of them is cured, we do know about Simon Peter's mother. Now, in modern-day Capernaum, you'll find there is a small little area of ruins. And the ruins of ancient homes lay alongside the Sea of Galilee. And there's a church that's built over what they believe is the home of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And when you go into the church, they actually have a clear floor so you can look down into the ruins below. And every time I go there, I think about this story from Scripture. I picture this woman sick in bed with a fever, and I imagine Jesus laying his hands on her, and immediately her fever leaves her, and she pops up and starts serving everyone again. And each time I think, couldn't they have just let her rest for a little bit longer? But this is a modern way of thinking. You see, theologian and pastor Sarah Henrich reminds us that in the time of Jesus, illness bore a heavy cost. To be ill, to be sick, there was a heavy cost in your life. Not only would a person be unable to earn a living or contribute to the well-being of a household, but you see, their ability to take the proper role in community, to be honored as a valued member of a household or a town or a village, was literally taken away from them when they were ill. And so Peter's mother-in-law is an excellent case in point. It was her calling. It was her honor to show hospitality to her guests. And when she was cut off from that role because of illness, then she's no longer integrated into the world around her. Who was she when she was no longer engaged in her calling? And so Jesus restored not only her physical health, but he restored her social world and brought her back to a life of value by freeing her not only from the fever, but freeing her from her disconnect in the community. And it's very important to see that healing is about restoration to community and restoration to calling. A role as well as a restoration to life. You see, for life without community and calling is very bleak indeed. The healing that Jesus offered people set them free for a purpose, And that purpose was more than just a healing of past hurts and brokenness. The purpose was that they might be reconnected back into the community. Lepers were made clean, and they were welcomed back into the community. Typically, the lepers lived on the outside, on the outskirts, away from the community. But being healed meant that they can go back, not only to the community, but to the temple itself. And a woman who could not stop bleeding is not only healed by Jesus. If you remember this story, she touches his cloak and the power comes out of him and she is healed. But he doesn't leave it there. He says, "Who touched me? Come out." And she is forced to tell her story, not just that she might be heard, but that she might be reconnected back into the community. And then even on the cross, Jesus has a thief hanging next to him. And this thief says, "Jesus, remember me," which isn't just one word. It's actually a reconnecting, remember me into the body. And what does Jesus say? "Today you will be with me in paradise." The healing ministry of Jesus was always about bringing people back into relationship with one another, just like Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Community and calling was key to understanding our role in God's kingdom. Emboldened through the waters of baptism, blessed with the community of faith that we have here, we are called to move out, to be about the work of sharing God's message of salvation and transformation in the world. But where do we start? If all of us are called by God to something, how do we know what that calling looks like? When I was seeking to understand God's call in my own life, because for a long time I thought I knew what it was, wasn't really listening. I was kind of thinking about what was best for me. But as I began to discern God's call in my life, I came across a quotation by Frederick Buechner. And these are his words. He says, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." The place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. He says, listen to your life. In the exciting peaks as well as in the deep, dark valleys, even in the monotony of life, where are the moments of happy tears? Where are the moments of surprised laughter when the Spirit just shows up? Pay attention, because they are telling you something deeply important about yourself. Even more, such moments are whispering something about the kind of work that God has called you to be about. Most of all, listen for the voice of the one who calls all of us. As Doris shared with the children, Jesus was easily distracted because there were so many people coming at him, so many people needing him. And he realized that if he was going to truly live out this call, because he's right at the beginning of his ministry, if he's going to truly live out the call that has been placed on his life, he needs to set himself apart. So he went to a deserted place and he prayed, because he knew the importance of listening for God's voice continually. We need time away to pray. So I mentioned earlier that if there's something on your life and your heart that's weighing you down today, and you need to go into a deeper place of prayer, there's going to be prayer and anointing in that back room after church today. And maybe it's as we come into a time of Lent, creating a special place or time of quiet in your life. I know it's hard. First of all, we don't like quiet because quiet makes us hear things that we don't want to face. But we also have a hard time finding that space. And so throughout the season of Lent, there are going to be opportunities for you to come and to pray. We're talking about a women's retreat that will focus on centering prayer. Perhaps the men will talk about, I don't know what the men are going to talk about. I'm not a man, so I wasn't invited. But prayer is integral. Listening for God's voice is integral in understanding God's call on our lives. Prayer reconnects us with the one who has claimed us, who has healed us, and who has called us. Even when the path seems hidden, we are reminded of Isaiah's words that Jeff read to us from the Hebrew Bible this morning. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and he strengthens the powerless. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Derek Coleman commercial ended with the words, "Trust your power." Following God's call begins by trusting in the one who called you. Trusting that even when the path is hidden and even when we feel forgotten, that God's strength has the power to give courage to even the most powerless. God has not left our side. And so I am reminded of one of my favorite hymns, hymn number 143, in our red hymnals. A song, and I'm going to probably not be in the right key, so a song that reminds us that no matter where we are called, that God, the eagle, the wings of the eagle will rise and hold us so that we might shine. God will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of God's hand. One more time. And God will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of God's hand. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have claimed us. You have called us. And Lord, even when the path isn't clear for us, we know that you walk with us in both our strength and in our weakness. So walk with us, Lord. Lead us out into the world so that your message is embodied through each one of us. Lord, embolden us to be courageous, to dare greatly in your name. We ask all of this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.